here we are again, another Monday. Welcome to the program, Truth Seekers. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Hope you're going to hang around for a while. It was very, 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 very chilly here in Atlanta today, especially this evening. And over the weekend, we had bought 5 pumpkins, 2 rather good-sized pumpkins and 3 little ones. So today was pumpkin carving day, and it's just great fun. I've done this so many times because I've got kids that are getting older and older and older and have their own kids. But to do it once again with Molly, you know, 3-year-old kid, and Kathy gave her a pen and said, draw a spooky face on the pumpkin and then cut them out. It was great fun. And then after Kathy finished up and I took Molly up for her bath, and then we took the pumpkins out on the front of the house, put them up along the stone wall we have out in front and low wall, and put the candles in. And Molly stood back and she said, jack-o'-lanterns! And just doing that removes me completely. You know, for what? 2 hours, Kathy? We didn't talk about Bush. We didn't think about the threats to world peace that he represents. We didn't care who gets the Democratic or the Republican Party nomination. It's just a suspension of for me, and I'm sure for Kathy too. It's just a total suspension of reality when you carve pumpkins. And so today was that day in our family. Do you still do that? You still carve pumpkins, Truth Seeker? Huh? I think if I didn't have a 3-year-old, I would still be inclined to do it. So we're getting closer and closer to Samhain. Just wanted to say, happy Halloween. When is All Saints Day? Thursday? Is that November 1st? So Halloween's Wednesday night. That's when the trick-or-treaters come by.
Yeah, All Saints Day around our house is now affectionately known as Put In New Plumbing Day.
Right, that's
Tear
true.
Up Our Yard Day.
That's true. We have the sewer pipe coming in on All Saints Day.
That'll be a pleasant, charming little story to talk about Molly in the front yard with the sewer pipe. We can talk about that Friday.
So
we won't be thinking about Bush that day either.
No, we won't. We'll be wondering where we're going to go to the John all day when they got the pipes torn up. Oh, well, a little bit of a Malloy Econa there for you. Not that anybody cares, but if you do jack-o'-lanterns, you know, the really weird thing, we went up to the North Georgia Mountains last weekend, or the weekend before, to buy pumpkins. You know, that's what you do. When you live in Atlanta, you drive about an hour and a half north. You're in the Appalachian Mountains and all sorts of little villages up there and towns that have been overrun by Floridians, rich Floridians who have a home in Florida, retirement home in Florida. Now they have a retirement home in our mountains. Or just, wealthy people coming out of Atlanta who want to escape the pollution. But it used to be you could go up to the North Georgia Mountains and buy pumpkins, great big ones, for like $2 or $3. And I'm not talking about, well, back when I was a kid. I'm talking about 5 or 6 years ago. So we were up there last weekend looking around for pumpkins, and I think the cheapest ones were like $10 for some scruffy little, it's nice, round, orange. And now they have white pumpkins? What's up with that? $10, $12, $14. So we just said the hell with it. Came back to Atlanta, went to the Kroger's, and bought them at the Publix or Kroger's, wherever, whatever supermarket that we, and got them for half that. But I digress. I don't follow professional sports anymore because it's become a racket for drug addicts and money freaks and. I just can't do it anymore. I grew up in an American League baseball city. We didn't have a franchise, but my God, we were right between Cleveland and Detroit. But I gave it up a long time ago. I couldn't help but pay attention though to the fact that the Boston Red Sox beat the hell out of the Colorado Rockies. Went 4 straight. The last game was yesterday. The Red Sox, once again, second time in 3 years, wins the World Series after, a 90-year drought for Boston. the thing that caught my attention about this game is that the Colorado Rockies, I read several reports that these people felt that Jesus was playing first base for them or a coach or something. They were like really into Christianity, all the players, and they would even the token Shinto on the team, Hideki Okajima. Anyway, they made such a big deal, didn't they? Or have I been reading the wrong sports writers? Some of the best writing in newspapers is still sports writers. I don't, you know, whereas I don't follow professional sports, I love to read some of the sports writers because they're really good. Acerbic, I guess would be the right tone. So the sports writers I was reading were writing about the fact that the Colorado Rockies had this kind of superior Jesus is on our side attitude with the prayers and the whatever. I mean, okay, it's one thing for someone to have a personal belief. It's okay for a team to have a belief, but it's a team having a belief. But apparently these guys were really pushing it, really pushing their sports Christianity. And that's another pet peeve of mine. Sports Christianity? Get out of my face with that. God's going to take time out to make sure you win the Firecracker 400. God is going to pay attention to make sure you get the extra point after. Give me a freaking break. So anyway, it was nice to see the Boston Red Sox, tobacco chewing, beer swilling. I know there's a lot of Catholics on their team. Thugs just whap, 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 whap. To the Colorado Rockies. Maybe they will reconsider that Jesus might have been busy during World Series season this year and just couldn't take time out to answer their prayers. Oh, he did a little bit, I guess, these guys. The Rockies won 21 of their last 22 games to get into the first World Series. And there was a lot of talk about, well, you know, that's because we're Christian. That's because Jesus loves us. I am so over this religious nonsense, especially Christianity in sports and government and making money. And what was that book, Kathy? The one about you were supposed to say that verse over and over, Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. If you say it over and over, money will fall out of your ears or something. You've got one branch of these religions that believes in butchering everyone who doesn't believe the way they do, and another branch that says, "No, let's just go make some money." And I don't know. It just seems to me they kind of lose sight of. Oh, maybe they don't. Schwarzenegger's in the news. He says marijuana is not a drug. The British edition of GQ magazine has an interview with him. The December issue. He says he's never taken drugs. He has smoked pot, but he's never taken drugs. Schwarzenegger told GQ magazine, quote, "That is not a drug. It's a leaf." "My drug was pumping iron." Can you do Schwarzenegger for me? I can't do him. Just do that, Kathy. Say, that is not a drug. It's a leaf.
"I am a walking steroid. Marijuana is not a drug, it's a leaf. It's an herb, man."
Thank you. Appreciate it. And then he asked almost a Zen-like question. He said to the interviewer, "What would you rather have, a politician taking stuff and not saying, but making the best decisions and improving things, or a politician who names all the drugs he or she has taken but makes lousy decisions for the country?" What? What? And then the capper, he said, "A politician's job is to do what's best for the people and to improve the country, the economy, the environment. Why should I care if a politician takes sleeping pills every night so long as he can do his job?" It's not the sleeping pills, Arnold. It's stuff like heroin and methamphetamine.
I think that's what's wrong with Janie.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Yeah, God does. God smells good. Yeah. What if God smoked cannabis? If the bomb
one day I met the man, gave to me a jet.
I could have passed a background check on the standards applied on the most stringent conditions when my dad was president of the United States, a 15-year period.
Yeah, like, who cares? Rosa Brooks is a columnist for the L.A. Times. And L.A. Times seems to gather up some pretty good columnists, and then they usually abuse them and fire them. So does the San Francisco Chronicle. But Rosa Brooks had a column in a few days ago that I'd like to quote here for you, because it's just right on target. She says, forget impeachment. Liberals, put it behind you. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney shouldn't be treated like criminals who deserve punishment. They should be treated like psychotics who need treatment, because they've clearly gone mad. Exhibit A, we're in the middle of a disastrous war in Iraq. The military and political situation in Afghanistan is steadily worsening, and the administration's interrogation and detention tactics have inflamed anti-Americanism and fueled extremist movements around the globe. Sane people confronting such a situation do their best to tamp down tensions, rebuild shattered alliances, find common ground with hostile parties, and give our military a little breathing space. But crazy people, they look around and decide it's time to start another war. That would be with Iran. And you'd have to be deaf not to hear the war drums. Last week, Bush remarked that, quote, if you're interested in avoiding World War III, you ought to be interested in preventing Iran from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon, end quote. And on Sunday last week, Cheney warned of, quote, Iranian regime's efforts to destabilize the Middle East and to gain hegemonic power. We cannot stand by as a terror-supporting state fulfills its most aggressive ambitions, end quote. And on Tuesday, Bush insisted on the need to defend Europe against the emerging Iranian threat. Huh? Iran is now a major threat to Europe? This is lunacy in action. And then she quotes Fareed Zakaria, who was in the October 20th issue of Newsweek, wrote in citing Bush's invocation of the specter of World War III if Iran gained even the knowledge needed to make a nuclear weapon. Yeah, that's right. That's what it's come down to. Not if Iran has nuclear weapons, or is in the process of building nuclear weapons, or is building a factory to make nuclear weapons. No. Justification for war, if Iran has the knowledge. I have the knowledge. I have a computer. Anyway, Fareed Zakaria concluded that, quote, the American discussion about Iran has lost all connection to reality. Iran has an economy the size of Finland's. It has not invaded a country since the 1700s. The United States has a gross domestic product that is 68 times larger and defense expenditures that are 110 times greater. Israel and every Arab country except Syria and Iraq are allied against Iran. And yet, we are to believe that Tehran is about to overturn the international system and replace it with an Islamo-fascist order? What planet are we on? End quote. Planet Cheney. Rosa Brooks writes, the U.S. is full of ordinary people with serious forms of mental illness, delusional people with violent fantasies who think they're the president or think they get instructions from the CIA through their dental fillings. The problem with Bush is that he is the president, and he gives instructions to the CIA and the military without having to go through his dental fillings. Impeachment's not the solution to psychosis, no matter how flagrant. But despite their impressive foresight in other areas, the framers unaccountably neglected to include an involuntary civil commitment procedure in the Constitution. Still, don't lose hope. By enlisting the aid of mental health professionals and the court system, Congress can act to remedy that constitutional oversight. The goal? Get Bush and Cheney committed. to an appropriate inpatient facility where they can get the treatment they so desperately need. In Washington, the appropriate statutory law is already in place. It reads like this. If a court or jury finds that a person is mentally ill and is likely to injure himself or other persons if allowed to remain at liberty, the court may order his hospitalization. End quote. I'll even serve on the jury. When it comes to averting World War III, it's really the least I can do. Well, Rosa, that's Rosa Brooks writing LA Times. Rosa, I'll join you. But what an interesting approach. To hell with impeachment. Nobody's going to impeach him. Why don't we just have, I don't mean why don't we have, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not a resident of D.C. But if somebody would petition a civil court, any kind of a court in D.C., what kind of courts do they have? They don't have state courts, obviously. But a common pleas court and say, look, I want a civil commitment ceremony for a couple of people who are about to cause World War III. Maybe the judge would pay attention and say, yeah, let's do it. I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Well, maybe not tonight, but I've certainly done it in the past, right? This is one of those stories that kind of is in keeping with Rosa Brooks, LA Times columnist. Don't impeach them, these rat bastards in the White House. Have them committed. Plans were now announced today by Egypt, by our favorite torture boy, Hosni Mubarak, who runs the dictatorship known as Egypt, where we periodically send people to be, waterboarded, beaten, burned, tortured, electric shocked, just whatever, until we get the truth out of little bastards. But Hosni Mubarak announced today plans for Egypt's nuclear future. They're going to build several, not one, not two, not four, not several nuclear power plants. Now, this is just the latest in these kinds of proposals coming from so-called moderate Arab countries. How do you call a country that is a dictatorship moderate? How do you call a country that doesn't allow women citizens to drive cars moderate? How do you describe a country that is in fact a kingdom moderate? I don't know how that's done, but the Associated Press is able to do it by calling these countries moderate Arab countries. Now, what was the reaction from Chucklenuts, our illustrious leader, who just doesn't want a nuclearized Middle East unless it's all in the hands of the Israelis? How did he react? Well, the U.S. government immediately welcomed the plan. Welcomed the plan. Hello? Mubarak said the aim was to diversify Egypt's energy resources and preserve its oil and gas reserves for future generations. There's a real knee slapper, huh? Of course, that's what Ahmadinejad keeps saying over in Iran, but, you know, Hosni Mubarak, he said, well, you know, we want to save it for future generations. Snigger, snigger. In a televised speech, Mr. Mubarak pledged Egypt would work with the UN nuclear watchdog agency at all times and would not, I repeat, not, let me repeat again, not seek a nuclear bomb. We won't, we really won't. Cross our fingers, hope to die. But Mubarak also made clear there were strategic reasons for the program. Strategic? As in strategies? As in international relations, as in maybe war with them Jews? Huh? But Barak made clear there were strategic reasons for the program, calling secure sources of energy, quote, an integral part of Egypt's national security system, end quote. Aha! And in Washington, our State Department spokes geek, the latest freak in a long line of freaks in the Bush crime family, one Sean McCormick, said the U.S. would not object to the program as long as, listen up, class, listen up, as long as Egypt adhered to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty that Bush has refused to acknowledge, and International Atomic Energy Agency guidelines, the ones we constantly ignore. So, there, Egypt. Now, Iran, as you know, says it has a right to peaceful nuclear power, too, and needs to meet its economy's voracious energy needs, just like Egypt, right? Of course. What most of us here in the United States don't realize is that allegedly Iran's nuclear program, in fact, it's the U.S.'s aggression. But let's play along. Iran's program has prompted a slew of Mideast countries to announce plans of their own to blunt Tehran's rising regional influence. Oh, sure. Egypt is highly sensitive to the fact that Iran hopes to open its Bushehr nuclear plant next year. And Mohammed Abdel Salam, director of the Regional Security Program at Al Aram Center for Political and Strategic Studies in Cairo, says Iran's regional role, as well as Iran's political use of the nuclear issue, have added to Egypt's sensitivity. Therefore, we're going to build power plants. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Other Arab countries' recent nuclear announcements added extra pressure on Egypt, according to Mohammed, that Egypt should not delay anymore. With all these countries out there building power plants, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Egypt has to build power plants too. Jordan, Turkey, and several Gulf Arab countries, let me think, would that be the UAE, Bahrain, have announced in recent months that they're interested in developing nuclear power programs. And Yemen's government signed a deal with a U.S. company in September to build civilian nuclear plants over the next 10 years. I wonder who the U.S. company is. Let me think. Halliburton, maybe? Huh? Didn't they just boogie out of Iran a few months ago? Algeria also signed a cooperation accord with the U.S. on civil nuclear energy in June. Algeria? Another military dictatorship that we just love them, don't we? And Morocco announced a deal last week under which France will help develop nuclear reactors there. Well, by God, truth seekers, how do you like that? What do we got here? Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, Jordan, Turkey, several Gulf Arab countries, Iran, Israel, Egypt. What are we up to? 11 countries in the volatile Middle East with nuclear power plants. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Dear God, Allah, Buddha, planet Mars, one-eyed whatever, Osiris, the Anubis, somebody. Oh, and I always have to add the P.S. Following a policy it calls nuclear ambiguity, Israel has never confirmed nor denied having a nuclear weapons program itself. You know, we may not. We may have 10, we may have 200, we may have none, we may have thermonuclear, we may have a neutron, we may have stuff that you goyim couldn't even imagine we have. But we won't confirm or deny. And Mordecai Vanunu, to hell with him. What a schmuck this guy, right? They put him in prison for 18 years after giving details of Israel's atomic program to a British newspaper back in 1986. And his information led many outside experts to conclude that Israel has the world's sixth largest stockpile of nuclear weapons. 20 years ago. So, the next time you hear somebody say, "Oi, make the Jews give up the bombs," forget about it. This is survival of the fittest now. The Israelis have got to have it. I mean, good God, it's one thing to be surrounded when you're what, 4 million, to be surrounded by 200 million rabid, wild-eyed Islamofascists. That's one thing. It's something else, again, when they all have nuclear power plants. God, the future is just going to be an absolute, unmitigated, capital B, bitch. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to be weird. Egypt to build nuclear plants, and the United States immediately welcomed the plan. Well, I just have to rest after that one. I really do. I have to rest. Oh, good. We have a call from Hong Kong. Let's talk with Andrew, who is calling from the former British colony. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I'm actually north in Shenzhen, north of Hong Kong.
Oh, well, you're calling from the future, which always impresses me. So,
yeah, it's 9:45 in the morning here. I'm on my way to a meeting in a little bit.
On Wednesday, no less. Woo!
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, that's right. Don't push it too far, Malloy. All right, well, the reason...
Planet's not that big.
That's true. It's not quite that big, Andrew.
Not 2 days big.
Yeah. Go right ahead, yeah. Andrew.
Yeah, no, I'm listening to you talking about the nuclear situation, and I'm remembering back reading online about, I would say two months prior to when we invaded Iraq for no reason.
Uh-huh.
And saw the satellite photos that were published both in the Israeli newspapers and in the European and South American newspapers of satellite photos that the U.S. government saw the movement of what weapons Iraq had into over the Syrian border.
Right.
And everywhere else in the world, it was known that whatever weapons that they had, which, by the way, were given to Iraq by the Reagan administration, had left the country, and we still use it as a false reason to go in and invade their country.
Sure.
And it's the same kind of hypocrisy what you're talking about with these nuclear facilities. And the argument that's being made internationally, not in the U.S. media, about these nuclear facilities is that with the new French nuclear technology, which instead of using rods, uses these very small spheres of material, is material that can't be converted to become weapons grade, which is actual nonsense, because all you have to do is remove them from the sphere form, reformulate them, and you have weapons-grade material for making nuclear weapons.
Bingo.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. The reason that they say that these are moderate countries is that story of comparison. I mean, if you're comparing someone to an evil, malicious dictator, and the guy only just, you know, beats children, I guess he's moderate compared to the guy who beats everyone.
Right, absolutely.
So,
hey, what's it like trying to breathe where you are? How's the air quality? I understand it's not good in.
Well, actually, I just came from India. I was in New Delhi, and if you compare India to here, it's the difference between paradise and hell.
You're kidding.
I mean, in Shenzhen, China, the air is actually pretty clear, and it's the commercial center just north of Hong Kong, and the air quality here is not a problem at all. In India. I'll tell you, I'll be blowing my nose, and India is going to be coming out for the next 5 days. It was the most disgusting. It was the most disgusting place I've ever been in my life. I have to go there occasionally on business, and I'm usually sick for 2 or 3 days afterwards.
I hear you, Andrew. We've got a break here. Thanks so much for checking in. I appreciate the call. Take care. Drive safely. Okay. Okay. Goodbye, Andrew. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 7 before the hour. Okay, we've just been too light and happy-go-lucky so far on the program tonight. We need a little horror to spice things up before we move on to our big top of the hour break and next hour. And you do want to stick around for that. So here's a little spice for it is Halloween after all. This comes from TurkishPress.com via the French news agency. At least, I always like when a sentence begins at least. You know, and then they give you a number. I always wonder, having been in the news business, at least did somebody count them, or did the reporter stand there and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Oh God, I give up. Here's what it says: at least 20 decapitated corpses were. Why am I laughing? At least 20 decapitated corpses were found, and a suicide bomber killed 28 policemen. Northeast of Baghdad on Monday, as the U.S. military transferred the security control of Karbala to Iraqi forces. Here, guys, boom! The corpses, they were all men, were found near the village of something close to Baqaba just hours after a bicycle bomber. Bicycle bomber. Son of a bitch. A bicycle bomber. How? Question. I have a question. A bicycle bomber. How are we going to stop a bicycle bomber? With Bush's radar installations in Alaska or these nuclear interceptor sites through the old Warsaw Pact countries that has Putin's underwear in a wad? Oh, well, it's something I'll think about tonight when I go to bed. Bicycle suicide bomber slaughtered 28 policemen in Baqaba, and the corpses of 20 people decapitated were found. The discovery of bodies was a stark reminder that Iraq's brutal sectarian strife was far from over. Despite wide-ranging U.S. and Iraqi military operations... A bicycle suicide bomber? At least 20 decapitated corpses? I would like some confirmation, please, on that 20 decapitated. I mean, that's just going a little bit too far, don't you think? I mean, please. 3? All right. 6? Maybe. 10? If you got a real psychopath loose. But 20 at least? Things are going great in Iraq, aren't they? And, of course, our military, what's left of it, is right in the middle of this. The wholesale slaughter of policemen. Did you see the picture in the New York Times today, above the fold, the big color picture of what appears to be, I'm not sure what it is. The caption says... soldiers or police lined up for some sort of graduation or inspection or something. But if you look at the picture, let me see here. Is it today's paper? I hope it's I hope it is today's, because I would hate to be wrong on this. But the picture shows these guys all lined up. They're obviously Iraqis. And I swear to God, the one guy had, well, you'd have to see it to understand what I'm talking about. There are a couple of guys in this photograph that look like they have something other than, you know, graduation ceremonies on their minds. It's pretty bizarre. And the only reason I bring it up is because the photograph is just, what's the word, just so blatant. Maybe that's it. Was it today? Is it today's paper? Quick. Where is it? Oh, well, I'll find it. Damn. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Paul Krugman and Bill Maher both recently, within the past few days, have talked about this horrendous fear that seems to be the energy that drives the Republican Party. At least that's what they think works on us. And up to the past few months, we, the American people, have demonstrated, that fear does work. There's no question in my mind that this is where the Republicans borrowed directly from the Nazi playbook where it concerns how to motivate or manipulate, I should say, a civilian population by convincing them that the only salvation from this nameless dread, unless you can name it. I mean, the Jews named it. The Germans named it. They called it the Jews. They called it the gays. They called it the socialists. They called it the communists. They called it the liberals. That was the boogeyman that Hermann or Joseph Goebbels used. In this country, of course, in this time, the boogeyman is Islamofascism or the Muslims or the terrorists or Al-Qaeda. Whatever, by whatever name these Republicans have chosen, and not a few Democrats, it's fear. Strictly. And aren't you getting tired of it? Aren't you tired of walking around, and when you think about it, not that you think about it all day long, you know, you may do what I do. Maybe you carve jack-o'-lanterns and it all goes away. But aren't you tired of having the Republican Party assume, whether you're a manipulator or not, but assuming you're going to be manipulated by this fear? I think the vast majority of America really has had enough of these bastards. But Krugman writes, he reminds us that in arguably what was America's darkest hour, Franklin Roosevelt urged the nation not to succumb to what he called nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, end quote. Now, isn't that odd? Roosevelt exhorted the American public not to give into that, whereas Bush and Cheney and the rest of these Republican bastards all the way down the line exhort us to give into it, to succumb to nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, so that we can then run to what some moron has labeled the Daddy Party. The Republican. The Republicans are the daddy party? Holy Jesus, what genius came up with that term? Daddy the protector? Daddy the disciplinarian? Daddy, what are they using as a definition of daddy? But as Krugman points out, the people in this group who hope to be, one of whom hopes to be the next president, including all the candidates for Republican nomination, have made this unreasoning, unjustified terror the centerpiece of their campaigns. And they're trying to outdo each other. Have you noticed that? I don't know if you watch the Republican Q&A sessions that are laughingly, jokingly, hysterically referred to as debates. And obviously they're not. But it's an obscenity to call these cattle calls, the American media putting these thugs up on stage. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. And going through these little two-minute interregnums, it's filthy. It's disgusting. It's an outrage. It's an obscenity to call them debates. But let's use their term. In the Republican debates, they're all trying to out-terror each other. And we talked about this last week, but consider for a moment, as Krugman writes, the implications of the fact that Rudy Giuliani has as his top foreign policy advisor Norman Podhoretz, the man who wants to start bombing Iran, quote, as soon as it's logistically possible, end quote. Son of a bitch. Not as soon as it's strategically possible, or not at a time when maybe bombing would be warranted, i.e., I don't know what, an attack on the soft underbelly of Louisiana by the Iranian hordes? You know, I'm not sure. But Podhoretz says, no, as soon as it is logistically possible. Podhoretz says that Iran is, quote, the main center of the Islamo-fascist ideology against which we have been fighting since 9/11. He goes on to tell us that the Islamo-fascists are well on their way toward creating a world, quote, shaped by their will and tailored to their wishes. Indeed, some observers are a warning that by the end of the 21st century, the whole of Europe will be transformed into a place to which they give the name Eurabia. End quote. Oh my God! Eurabia? As Krugman points out, in the first place, there actually isn't any such thing as Islamofascism. That's not an ideology. It's a figment of the neocon imagination. And as Krugman writes, the term came into vogue only because it was a way for Iraq hawks to gloss over the awkward transition from pursuing Osama bin Laden, who attacked America, to Saddam Hussein, who didn't. And Iran had nothing whatsoever to do with 9/11. In fact, the Iranian regime was quite helpful to the U.S. military when the Bush crime family went after al-Qaeda and its Taliban allies in Afghanistan. Yeah, Iran was like, oh, okay, yeah, go get them. We don't want this nonsense. We just want to do business. But the claim that Iran is on the path to global domination is beyond ludicrous, as Krugman writes. And might I add, it is insane. It's insane. It's like the columnist from the LA Times wrote. These people are mad beyond the point where, as far as I'm concerned, a commitment hearing is even necessary. When you talk about Iran, you're talking about a country with roughly the GDP of Connecticut. Now, she said roughly the GDP of Sweden. And a government whose military budget is about the same as Sweden's. Mr. Podhoretz, in short, is engaging in what my relatives call crazy talk, Krugman writes. Yet he is being treated with respect by the frontrunner for the GOP nomination, Giuliani. And Mr. Podhoretz's rants are, if anything, saner. than some of what we've been hearing from some of Giuliani's rivals. For example, in a recent campaign ad, Mitt Romney asserted that America is in a struggle with people who aim to, quote, unite the world under a single jihadist caliphate. To do that, they must collapse freedom-loving nations like us, end quote. Oh, my God. Now, he doesn't say exactly who these jihadists are, but presumably he's referring to Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has no chance of collapsing the United States, let alone taking over the world. Al-Qaeda? And Mike Huckabee, the Baptist preacher, who reporters like to portray as a nice, reasonable guy, he says that if Hillary Clinton is elected, quote, I'm not sure we'll have the courage and the will and the resolve to fight the greatest threat this country's ever faced in Islamofascism, end quote. If Hillary is elected, we won't have the courage. So I guess, according to these people, this Iran poses a greater danger than Hitler's panzers or the Soviet nuclear arsenal ever did. How did we do that? How did we defeat two of the most sophisticated military machines in the history of warfare, the Japanese and the Germans? How did we manage to survive with the Russians or the Soviets for 60 years, other than the regional slaughters that both countries engineered, under the threat of nuclear annihilation? How do we do that? These people, the Republicans, want you and me and our children and our families and all of us to be terrified so that we will once again allow these filthy Republicans to get into leadership positions. No. Abso-freaking-lutely no.
Hey, Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. I guess the photograph I was looking for was on the front page of the Sunday New York Times, but if you saw it or you want to go check it out, you'll see what I'm talking about. Man, talk about don't ask, don't tell. Woo! The phone number here is 800-989-1480, and we're just about to take some phone calls. So if you would like to give us a holler, if you have something on your mind, we'd like to have you share it with us. The last thing I've got here is two Tampa Bay Veterans Hospitals are turning away critically ill patients for huge chunks of the year. Interesting way Associated Press phrases that, because of an overloaded veterans health care system. Every time I see a story like this and I think about how this filthy son of a bitch George Bush uses our soldiers, our airmen, our Marines as backdrops, as props, every time he wants to make one of his hateful warmongering speeches, and sometimes when he can't find a ready brigade or group of soldiers to serve as backdrops, he goes to a military college. The Haley Medical Center in Tampa and Bay Pines Medical Center in St. Pete, both of them VA operations, are the nation's busiest and fourth busiest, respectively. The Haley Medical Center, the nation's busiest, has been on what they call divert status. Send people somewhere else. 27% of the time in the past year, or the equivalent of about 170 days. The hospital diverts all patients, regardless of condition, 16% of the time. All patients. And Bay Pines, the medical center at Bay Pines, last year diverted veterans 13% of the time. No room, no resources, no money, no health care. Critically ill patients. These are not people who are coming in with a hernia. These are not people coming in with hemorrhoids or a twisted muscle in their back. These are critically ill veterans. And the Bush crime family can ask for and receive from both Republican and democratically controlled U.S. House hundreds of billions of dollars for war. Forget the kids, forget health care, forget education. One would think that American lawmakers would make sure that the people doing the killing and being killed and maimed and wounded, especially the ones who are critically ill when they come home, would receive medical care. And one would assume wrong. The Republican Party, look, we need to come to terms with this. We need to understand this. Republican Party hates the military. Literally hates it because they never had the courage to participate. So they project their fear and their loathing all over the military, all over this country. There is not a Republican in Congress with one or two massively glaring exceptions which prove the rule. But there's not a Republican in Congress who is not a stone-cold coward. They hate the military. They hate it. All Republicans in government hate the United States. They are pro-death. They are anti-U.S. They are evil cockroaches. All Republicans. Is that a little too over the... Kathy's sitting here looking at me with her eyes as big as saucers. Kathy, you know it's true. But somehow, these filthy Republicans have convinced so many Americans, these Republican politicians, using fear, using terror, to not only vote against their own best interests, but to continue to keep these lying cowards in office. What the hell is wrong here? Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of being manipulated with terror and fear? Aren't you tired of being told that the Republicans are really out for your best interests when your common sense and your brain tells you exactly the opposite? All you have to do is look at what they do. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's we have a break coming up here in 5 seconds. When we come back, we're going to take lots of phone calls here, starting with Barbara in Madison, Wisconsin. All right? So stay with us. We'd like to hear what you got to say. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
In the street, singing songs and a carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey,
doing talk radio right from the left. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Oh,
out that gold.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's go to your phone calls. Barbara is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I called to see if you had heard about the bill that the House passed about homegrown terrorism and thought control.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it last week. Yes.
Well, I just want to let you know that even though these things keep happening, there are many of us out here, maybe 3 million of us, who are fearless because this is their only shot, and they're going to lose. And so we've been keeping ourselves busy by doing all kinds of things. On Guy Fawkes Day, the 5th of November,
yeah,
we are going to show V for Vendetta.
Oh,
have
good.
Have you seen that movie?
Oh, I love that movie.
And knowing it's Madison, probably half the people will come in costume.
Right,
and
right.
Then we're going to have a lively discussion about fascism afterwards.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. This sounds like great fun. I think I'll probably be handling neighborhood trick-or-treaters.
So, you know, the fact is that there's a lot of work to do.
Oh, yes.
And people need to, you know, tell themselves that, you know, fear only demoralizes you.
Yes.
You have to feel energized to try to fight back, and there's a million ways to do it.
That's right. That's right. Well, I completely agree. God, I wish I was going to be in Madison. This sounds like an absolute hoot on Halloween.
Yes.
You're
November
going to do it?
5th. The
oh, the actual, you're going to do the actual Guy Fawkes Day or Guy Fawkes Day.
I
guess the Brits pronounce it Guy.
Yeah, Guy Fawkes. And instead of saying remember the 5th of November like they do in England,
right,
we say remember the 11th of September.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Will you let me know how it goes?
Oh, sure.
How much fun and frivolity you folks have? Okay.
Yeah, you know, Madison's cool, and there's a lot of things happening here.
I love Madison. I've only been there once, and that was an invitation by the Mike who sent me or had me come up for kind of a meet and greet, and then I went on to the University of Wisconsin, not at the Madison campus, but one of the satellite campuses. But it was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
I remember meeting you then.
I hope to come back. I hope to
come back again. We'll show you a good time.
I like that. All right. I know what you mean. I know what you mean, Barbara. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in.
I don't know what she means.
Be quiet. Just run the board. John is calling from Hayward, California. Hey, John. Welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. I heard your call from the future.
Yeah.
Back, and I don't know whether you covered this because I didn't hear the first 20 minutes of the show, but this thing about the proliferation of nuclear power plants and potentially making into nuclear weapons, this thing with Egypt,
right,
they're just the latest. The media has had a total blackout on the fact that they're letting Muammar Gaddafi get a nuclear power plant. Under the guise of letting France do it.
Right, right.
Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, well.
They're doing France is have the company or something, and I think they're talking about giving it to the neighboring North African country, Morocco. Now,
right,
here's the thing. I believe it was Morocco, but here's the thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we talked about this first hour, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
The thing is, I mean, the hypocrisy is just outrageous.
Sure.
Here we are talking about going into World War III, possibly, with Iran, and here we are, and it is us, the West, that they're just using France to do it, and going around handing out nuclear power plants to some of the most fervent Islamics on the planet.
Well.
I mean, they are just killing the defenseless native Africans. I mean, all it is a big game.
It's a money game. It's a game of winners and bigger winners, John. And I don't know when it's ever going to stop. But yeah, it's madness. I went down the list. We will, if this goes through, if all these startups for these nuclear power plants, and remember, they're all only for nuclear power.
Right.
Only for nuclear power. Now, that's what Iran keeps saying. And, of course, Bush and his murderers say, no, no, Iran is lying. But if Egypt says it, or if Jordan says it, or if United Arab Emirates say it, or if Bahrain says it, or if Morocco or Algeria say it, well, then, of course, it's only for nuclear energy. So
yeah.
With all of these countries eventually winding up with nuclear weapons and Israel, it's just going to be, I don't know, it's going to be absolute madness. I'll tell you, when the bombs finally start flying, you know, for the first 10 or 15 minutes, it's just going to be this incredible display of fireworks that signal the end of the earth. And you know, we'll be able to watch it for about 5 or 10 minutes until the first shock waves and the clouds of radioactivity finally swarm over us, and then we all just die very quickly. But somebody watching us through a telescope from several light years away will eventually see what appears to be a planet exploding.
A supernova going off.
Right,
something.
And they'll say, wait a second, that's a planet. How could that be happening?
There's another aspect of this, though. I feel that this is the ferment unrest and pretty much get these two warring factions. It would turn into a bigger melee because we got the Islamists, and a lot of the Native Africans have been turned into Christians over decades and centuries, and it's just going to be a big mess, and it's really to get these guys fighting to steal more African resources. That's the bottom line. That's in the short term before we go supernova.
I hear you. John, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your perspective. Thanks for what you had to say. But John just reminds me, all I want to do is just snuggle down and pull the blankets over my head, you know, or carve pumpkins, or, I don't know, watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and, you know, just eat popcorn. It's just a bit much, isn't it, True Seeker?
Can you get paid for that?
For doing, no.
I want that job.
I wish there was some way to get paid for just, you know, snuggling down under the blankets. But
Bush does.
To me, it wouldn't be a snuggle. It'd be like hiding under the blankets. Oh, well. Len is calling from New York City. Listening
Hi,
on the
Mike,
internet.
How
you hey, doing? Hey, Len. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You know, I was reading that Krugman article this morning that you were talking about,
right.
And the first thing that came to mind was that scene in Casablanca where the Germans talking to Humphrey Bogart about marching into Brooklyn, and Bogart going, you know, there are some parts of Brooklyn I wouldn't recommend walking through if you want to be safe, or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, I went to see Bruce Springsteen a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And someone gave me a ride, and we got into politics. She was obviously a major Bruce Springsteen nut because she had seen him twice already on the tour. And she was upset about his politics because, in her opinion, you know, if we listened to him, then we'd be all ruled by a bunch of, I guess Muslims, you know, with turbans, I think she mentioned.
She gets that out of Springsteen?
No, she gets that out of, like, her belief, you know, like Springsteen was talking about. She disagreed with his politics because she thinks that we have, you know, we have a lot to fear and fight against over here. And, you know, and I guess what I wanted to, what I realized is the way to put it into perspective for anybody who's, buying that crap, you know, I would say to them, you know, imagine, you know, going to see Springsteen in a $15,000 to $20,000 seat arena. You know, at about 9/11, that was about the number of terrorists maybe trained by Al Qaeda throughout the world at most. And now, given George Bush's madness over the last 6 years, now let's say there are 2 football stadiums filled, you know, 100,000 at most. How is 100,000 people going to take over the world, please tell?
Well,
I think it was, I think they got confused. You know, you talk about biological weapons, you know, which theoretically spread on contact. And, you know, people mistake that with people's ideology that suddenly spread on contact.
Yeah. Oh, no. I agree. And that's not how ideology spreads, is it?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I got to look that one up, though.
Yeah. All right, Len, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Oh, God, this is from 1,000 years ago. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
That fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It is about 10 before the hour. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. Have two open lines if you want to join in. Who's next? Tim is calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on the Republicans hate the military.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the military. Uh-huh. I've been in for 8 years, and I'm not reenlisting. Because Republicans, I don't think necessarily hate us. I just think that they look upon us like their ancestors did the slaves. We do the work that their children are unwilling to do, and because of that, we are cast aside, and we're put in a spot, and that's the spot we're supposed to stay in. I just earned my bachelor's degree thanks to the Navy. Thank God for the Navy for that. But now I'm being told that at any minute, regardless of what they had promised me before, I could be put in the desert carrying a gun in Iraq. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you join the military, that's what you expect. Well, no, we're in the Navy. I didn't know that it built an ocean in the middle of Iraq.
Right.
Halliburton has built or failed to build what they were supposed to build there.
Yeah.
But I don't think an ocean was contracted for.
They have no respect for the military, taking people in the Navy, unless they're Marine Corps, and putting them in a desert is obscene. And when I say hate the military, I honestly believe that they do hate the military for this reason. They send our soldiers and sailors and Marines to do combat for no logical reason. Not that war.
Absolutely no reason. And you
right.
know what? I get relegated at work every day because I am a liberal. I believe in thinking, and that's been my problem in the military.
Oh yeah,
they don't want somebody who can think. They want somebody to, you know, these guys over in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, they talk to them and you know the news organizations are really good at pulling out the guys that are all gung ho. And I got news for you. Everybody's gung ho. But the real thinkers, and not to disparage the guys. It's their indoctrination into the military too. You know, you got the Army and the Marines, and they're indoctrinated. That's what you know. They believe that the government has their best interests at heart. They believe that they're fighting the good fight. They believe that they're actually, you know, trying to do a good thing. And God bless them, they do. They do every day. And you know the you know the liberal media, quote unquote liberal media, it preaches to them that, you know, Democrats hate you, that nobody wants to take care of you, and and whatever. That's all bogus BS. Because
if they look
at the record, they would realize that Democrats actually take care of the military more than the Republicans ever have.
That's true, and that's the reason that I still maintain, with all due respect to him, that Republicans literally hate the military. The lies that are told to soldiers, no matter what branch. When I say soldier, I mean anybody in the military.
I don't take offense to that.
Absolute lies that are told, and then sending people into manufactured combat zones in which there should be no U.S. presence whatsoever. Even going back to 9/11, I know a lot of people after 9/11. 2001 joined the military because they thought, okay, my country's been attacked, I want to do something. When the country was attacked before the trade towers by a blind Egyptian cleric, the Clinton administration ordered a worldwide police action, and these people were brought to justice and are now serving prison terms in the United States without possibility of parole. The attack on this country, if we believe the official story, just for the sake of argument, I'm going to go with the official story, by 19 people, 15 of whom were Saudis, that required some sort of support system to pull it off, and those people should have been tracked down and brought to justice. Instead, what the Bush crime family did was order up invasions of two countries and a possible third, because they are liars. And this is where it's clear that they hate the military. To take our soldiers and Marines and airmen and Navy people and put them in that kind of a situation where the enemy is a manufactured enemy, but you're going to be just as dead if you get caught in the crossfire.
The problem is, though, that the average soldier doesn't understand that. And it's not that they're less intelligent. It's just that they're less informed. And it's because, you know, thinking outside of the box, thinking for yourself, is definitely something that's not encouraged where I'm coming from. That's definitely for sure. And listening to the Democrats and I just can't, it pains me. It really does pain me that, you know, my fellow servicemen, there's a difference between believing in the country and believing in the commander in chief. And I love this country. God bless this country. It's the greatest country, you know, on earth. But at the same time, the country is not the president. And you can not support the president and still support the troops because, as a matter of fact, that's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for their freedom to dissent.
That's right. And anybody who serves in the military, and God knows I wouldn't lecture you on this, Tim, but anybody in the military takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. Not the country, not the American people, and damn sure not the president. It's to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States on the theory that if the Constitution is in force, then what the Constitution delineates and orders will take care of any further protection that we need. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate you checking in, pal. We got to leave it there. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on Nova M Radio Network. Back to your phone calls. Ron is calling from Springfield, Missouri, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Ron.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about something you're always saying all the time. Why do certain people vote against their own best interests and reelect these?
Right.
Like the Republicans all the time when they're dead set against the working man.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that it's, they project an image, the politician hair, they say and do all the things during the campaign. They mention right-wing Christian family values, and people just fall over because they're such shallow-minded, dumbed-down people, and they don't do the research into these candidates to know which way they voted or what they were, you know, what their causes are. Basically, I think people vote for someone that they feel like mirrors their ideology or something. They don't really vote on issues.
Right. Well, sure. But then what happens, Ron, once these people are in office and the people who put them there see that they're frauds? Why do they get sent back for another term? That's the part that drives me crazy. You know, it's one thing to be fooled. We can all be fooled. But once somebody is in office and we put them there for a certain reason, then we find out this is what's happening to the Christian right now. They're realizing that George W. Bush was an absolute fraud. And they're kind of freaking out, like, oh my God, not only is he not a very Christian individual, but he's also working against what they wanted him to do. The Christian Coalition believes that Jesus wants tax cuts for the wealthy. The Christian Coalition believes that Jesus wants slaughter and murder in the Middle East. The Christian Coalition believes that Jesus is very concerned as to whether or not gay people can have civil unions like the rest of us.
Well, a lot of people are just in denial. They're not gonna accept the fact that George Bush is running down the country because they're in denial. They don't want to believe it. It's like I heard someone say one time, even if this is true, I don't want to believe it, because a lot of people are trying to retire. My brother is one of them. He votes Democratic all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retiring. He's worked with the railroad for like almost 30 years now. He wants to enjoy his retirement. But I say, you know, there may not be a country to retire to once you retire if you don't stand up and speak out against this injustice and this dismantling of the Constitution.
Right.
And I believe a lot of these people are just forgetful. They forget, like Hillary. You remember all this stuff about the Rose Law Firm and all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I really wouldn't vote for Hillary because I think I think the Clintons are a lot more smarter than Bush, but I think they're both crooks.
Well, they seem to have apparently the same basic agenda. Now, when I say basic, this neoliberal attitude that the only economic system that's worth a damn in any country on earth, no matter how prepared that country is for it, is a kind of unstructured capitalism. That's the neoliberal economic model, and it just doesn't work for so many societies that are just not ready for it. Also, the Clintons believe, just like any right-wing Republican believes, that that somehow it's okay that NAFTA and the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs and all this other stuff that chased so many jobs out of this country, first to Mexico, then to China, and now, by God, they're going to Vietnam. This is capitalism at its most foul. It will continue to move until it finds the lowest possible amount it has to pay for wages. Don't forget, what capitalism really likes is a slave population. That's why capitalism in this country, for the first couple of hundred years, up to and including the time this country became a country, that's why we were so successful so quickly, because we had capitalism and we had a labor force that was not paid. I mean, oh my God, you can't do better than that when you have millions of people working for you for free. You could do anything. unless you're one of the people working for free. And then, of course, you get nothing out of it. You don't even have a stake in the outcome because you're a slave. So it's I understand what you're saying about the Clintons. I hope something different happens. I just hate this Bush Clinton. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Can't complain any more than usual.
Well, that's good.
Couple things I wanted to tell you about, and a third I wanted to get your reaction to.
Sure.
First of all, set your VCR check your PBS schedule for Bill Moyer's Journal.
Uh-huh.
In this part of the world, it's on Friday night at 9:30.
Uh-huh.
But he's talking about this week going to be dealing with the FCC, which I'm looking forward to.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like it could be a little interesting, the fight that's going on once again.
For sure, for sure.
And secondly, when I heard him talk about it, I thought, oh, God, I got to tell Mike. My radio station of choice in the daytime is because it's a Cub station.
Uh-huh.
Got a guy named John Williams, and he's got brackets going this week in honor of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
On the scariest scene in a movie, and guess who's on it? Guess what's in one of the brackets?
What?
Your favorite, the Flying Monkeys.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of other ones, and I thought, oh, gee, it's Chicago. You know, vote early, vote often.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, and he can vote however many times he's so inclined to.
God, I miss Chicago.
Oh, geez.
I just miss Chicago.
You would not believe the fight that's going on between our governor and the, what the hell is his title, Madigan, the Speaker of the State House.
Yeah, now you're talking about Illinois or Indiana?
Illinois.
Illinois.
No, I hear more about what's going on in Illinois because I got
sure.
their radio station and TV
sure.
station. But Madigan wants his daughter to become governor. She's the current attorney general now. And so anything that Blagojevich wants to have done, forget it.
That's Illinois politics.
Oh, is it ever, baby? Oh, geez, it's so much fun.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. All right, Marge.
But what I really called about is
yeah?
I had to get your reaction to the news conference. It wasn't really a news conference.
Oh, listen, I just about pulled my few remaining hairs out of my head. We had fun with that last week. We had some sound from that, I think. But we had sound from the real press conference by Too Much Cappuccino Perino.
Brownie Baby has left his mark on FEMA, hasn't he?
Oh, man, you talk about an exercise in vaudeville. It was just unbelievable. But that's what the Bush crime family does. And they never learn, Marge, because they think we never learn. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, that's the thing about this FCC, because I think they're fighting about, you know, how many news corporations, you know,
yeah.
That give us all the news
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's fit.
Mm-hmm.
that telling us, you know, what they want us to know.
Well, there's got to be more consolidation. There are still four or five or six separate broadcast entities.
Oh.
And that's just not allowable. It's got to be gotten down to three and then two. And then eventually Rupert Murdoch has to be able to take over all of it. Now, until that time comes, there's going to be these struggles within the FCC, which is really only answers to corporate America now, the broadcast industrial complex. They don't give a damn about
no kidding.
Radio
well,
listeners.
Michael Powell is the one that started it, which I'm kind of. But now they've got somebody named Kevin Martin that's going around, and the one he would like, I'd like to hang his by the
the
heels because he's selling off the what do they call it? Spectrum. Broadband spectrum.
Yeah, the broadband spectrum, and it's being it's going to be bought up by religious and right wing organizations, and it's just enough to make you scream. Marge, I have to leave it there. Thanks, dear heart. I wish I would have had time to ask you what you're going to go trick or treat, how you're going to dress up, but we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
We were told on the show. The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
This music, I just do. Email here from Barbara. Hi, Mike. Your mention of Egypt and torture and questioning its use earlier in the show reminded me of the light bulb moment I recently had about that very issue. If torture is so ineffective for getting good information, why use it? Naomi Klein provided the answer. In a recent interview about her book, Shock Doctrine, exploring the concept of disaster capitalism, she said torture is one of the shocks that can be applied to bring a population under control. If the message gets out that anyone could be picked up for any reason and tortured, and the more hellacious the torture, the better, and especially if they can take you to another country in secret, then few people in the target population will be very enthusiastic about challenging anything the invaders, the occupiers, or whatever name one would give them, hence acting to reinforce control over them. It's another way to create fear and terror, not a way to get usable information. That made a lot more sense of the apparent nonsense about torture for me. Yeah, and if one's own government either passes legislation or has an out-of-control executive branch that signs executive directives that subject that population to torture in the name of protecting the people, then it increases the terror. And I'm sure Barbara was making that point. I mean, here we sit. We all know now, don't we? Well, I guess not. No, that's not correct. Probably the vast majority of us in the United States do not know that each and every one of us is now subject to arrest, detention, and being charged with crimes that are just incredible. Crimes of treason and supporting or working for foreign governments or terrorists who want to blow us up, who want to kill us. You and I are as vulnerable now, more vulnerable now than we've ever been, unless you go all the way back to the Alien and Sedition Act in the 19th century, late 18th century. In this country, we are more vulnerable as individuals in this population to arrest and detention with no way to defend ourselves or even get the charges explained to us than we've ever been. The torture element is in there too. This kind of coy, just makes you want to slap somebody across the mouth attitude. From the coy attitude that makes me want to slap somebody across the mouth, from government officials who keep saying, torture? Well, no, the U.S. doesn't condone torture. No. And yet when you get someone like this Mukasey, this guy, is that his name, Mukasey, who wants to be, or Bush wants him to be attorney general, and everybody was high-fiving. Remember about 5-6 weeks ago when his name was floated? Oh, yeah, here's somebody we can all get behind, Democrat and Republican. Yay, here we go. This son of a bitch will not even acknowledge that a form of torture that goes back to the Spanish Inquisition was used by the Nazis and the Soviet Communists, that he won't even acknowledge that it is a form of torture. And if it is, it loses its torture status if it is ordered by the chief executive. Why? Because the chief executive has executive power that is not subject to oversight. This is the guy that the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee say, oh, yeah, we can work with him. And now there's some questions about this guy, Mukasey. He won't even acknowledge that waterboarding is, in fact, torture. It has been defined as a torture since the 15th century. But there he sits. There this smug bastard, all of these smug bastards sit at their confirmation hearings. Or their the signing statements, or whatever the hell it is. And give these ridiculous half-answers. Non-answers. And what do the Democrats do? Why doesn't a Democrat, any Democrat, on the Senate Judiciary Committee, just stand up and say, you know, I'm tired of your crap. I'm tired of your testimony. You're a double-dealing, nonsense-speaking jerk. Oh, no, I guess that's too middle school. I'm sorry. God, I just revealed myself. Ooh. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Not by our hands will we supply the weapons and funding for the annihilation of families on foreign soil. Not by our mouths will we let fear silence us. Not by our hearts will we allow all peoples or countries to be deemed evil.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's go right back to your phone calls. Dan is calling from Franksville, Wisconsin, listening on the mic, 94.1. Hey, Dan.
Hey. I had to laugh a little bit when you says that they were using the capitalists were using slaves for free labor, but actually it seems like now slaves actually cost us the money back then. You know what I mean? You had to house and take care of them a little bit and then invest, but now they just at least these low paying jobs around here, they just run you until you're done. I know people that got them operations on their wrist, carpal tunnel or whatever it's called. Three hacks across, three operations that barely just work. You know, when they don't go fast enough, get out of here. Yeah. Get out of here and don't come around here. And if you do come around, we're going to have you arrested.
Sure.
There you go. There's your love for America. But I was going to call up on this stuff about the military. I was in the military, you know, and you always hear on the radio. We talked to military, you know, we talked to some soldiers on the ground. Why would you talk to the soldiers a million years? As soon as you go into the military, you basically walked into, using their terminology, into like a communist system. You lose all your rights. You lose, you can do barely anything without oversight from the top. You can't badmouth anyone above you, otherwise you're in serious crap. If you even talk politics, they're going to look at you sideways, and you're going to end up in serious trouble. You know, so there is your, like, people keep thinking, like, ask them, you know, the soldiers say this, the soldiers say that. The soldiers aren't allowed to think.
That's right.
They're not supposed to think.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dan. And I think anyone who's had military service understands that. You all must sit back and just laugh your butts off when you see these very sincere, very ardent, very, quote, hardworking, end quote, television reporters track down some poor grunt and ask him questions. And you know damn good and well what you just said. He can't answer. He can't tell the truth. He can't talk from his heart. He's got to say, sure, whatever.
or they're just, or you, I mean, even if you think about politics, and I mean just think about it, you know, and just having a casual conversation, they'll look at you like, hey, are you one of them type of people?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, you don't. That's one, you don't talk about politics in the military. You know, maybe in some little side room where, you know, some buddy, you might whisper a little bit, but you're in some serious crap. I'm not kidding you.
That's true. Hey, yeah. Dan, where's Franksville, Wisconsin?
It's all along. I was going to see what interstate. It's a long, but it's actually just south of Milwaukee, about 20 miles. And for some reason, across the cornfields, I got wires dangling all over my house, even though they say we have, we can get information if we want it, but I got wires dangling all over my house so I can pick up Madison.
Uh-huh. And yeah, and Madison's radio station comes in for you loud and clear?
It comes in for me, but it must come down. All I know is I can't pick it up anywhere around Milwaukee or anywhere. You have to get halfway between Madison and Milwaukee to pick it up. But it must be the way the weather is or whatever. But like I said, I got wires all over the house. When my wife comes here, she goes to school, she comes around here, she gets pissed because these doggone wires are daily over the house.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what do you do for a living? What's your occupation?
Truck drive.
Long-haul trucker?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I could do a lot of things. I don't like to brag or anything. I don't know. For some reason, I could fix washing machines or motors or heavy equipment.
Right.
I can't remember everything, but I'm just not in the mechanical stuff anymore because I can just relax.
Have you had much of a problem finding work, bringing home a paycheck, doing those things that...
No, I can actually... I was so self-confident, I'm almost neurotic. If I went into someone wanting a job, I'd be interviewing them, the company, because I can stuff is the second nature doing this stuff.
So you and your family are doing fairly okay.
Yeah, I mean, all right, but I mean, I can't get into the details because, Craig, this is like living in Nazi Germany. I mean, you got to watch every dot, every thing. IRS, this, that, the underground economy, a lot of that stuff. You know? I can't really talk to you about
it,
America.
No, I hear you. I understand. I'm just kind of curious. Every once in a while.
I know.
You know, when I get a call from some place I'm not familiar with, Franksville, Wisconsin, just like to know what you folks are about. A lot of farming out there?
A lot of people there, but they're all broke. I mean, the farming's almost like trucking. It's independent trucking, what I mean? Because it's all supply and demand economics, and there you go.
Yeah.
If you're not organized like that, they call them the these big corporations, they say associations. So they use that terminology, unions are bad, unions are bad. I go, the unions are all over in Washington. They got all their lobbyists. Only they use that nice word called associations.
Yeah,
it says, why can't we have the unions when they got them all in Washington controlling everything?
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, Frank, Dan, I'm glad you, are able to listen to 94.1 The Mic, and thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I hope you call again. Take care. Phil is calling from San Diego, California. Still listening on KLSD? You're kidding me.
No, it's still alive.
It's still giving
a reprieve.
Air America and Nova M, really?
Yeah, definitely.
I'll be
pretty. According to Stacy, he's our morning man.
Right.
He thinks he's got till like the middle of November.
Yeah,
so
I read.
Cool.
I read something that was put out by or somebody sent me something from San Diego that said basically that we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I told Ian about a thing in a local paper that gave a good write-up about the truth about, we have like our version of Hunter S. Thompson out here. Don Battery's a really good columnist, and he tells it like it is, and just gave the straight skinny on the real reason behind it all. It's all,
really?
It's all the typical BS,
Really? What's his name?
Don Batter. If you look under SanDiegoReader.com, the October 26th issue, I think it is. This is the most recent one. Just look under SanDiegoReader.com on page 6, and it tells about the liberals go and the sports talk stays. They have a picture of Stacy there and a picture of one of the
His first name is
guys.
Dan?
Pardon? Dan Bowder. B-A-U-D-E-R. He's really good. They have a whole backlog of his articles. And
all right, now let me make sure I got it right. It's Bowder.
Oh, sure.
B like boy, A.
Don, I'm sorry, Don. D-O-N. Don.
Yeah.
Bowder.
B-A-U-D-E-R.
D-E-R.
D-E-R. Okay,
D-E-R.
Got it.
Don
got
Bowder.
It.
And I was going to tell you about this man called Laird Wilcox. He wrote a book. It's called Practice of Ritual Defamation. And it basically what it's like written about almost 20 years ago. And he says the neocons, what their whole agenda is before anybody can have a conversation with them, they just go straight to the person's character and defame it. They just, like, you know, what's her name, that the one with the thing in her throat. I can't even, Ann, whatever her name is.
Ann Coulter, right.
But I was going to tell you something
the
to really
thing in her
me
throat.
Up. Yeah, not deep throat.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to believe it. Three adjectives. Sincere, compassionate, and genuine.
Yeah.
Who do they describe?
Sincere, compassionate, and genuine? Well, a lot of people.
Right-wing newsman said this, and I was flabbergasted. He was describing the Fuller Brush Man.
The Fuller
Brush? When he was here in town. Yeah. Unbelievable. He's a genuine nutcase.
Oh, you mean George W. Bush.
Well, I don't even use that name.
The Fuller Brush Man.
Yeah.
All right, Phil.
Thanks for being there, Mike.
Thanks for checking in, Phil. I appreciate your call. Take care, pal. Yeah, that's right. He is, in certain circles, referred to as the Fuller Brush Man, right? Sincere, compassionate, and genuine. George Bush? Who can describe Bush that way? Now, I'm asking for somebody who would be sane. That's just beyond belief to describe George.
Probably Ann Coulter, Mike. Ann Coulter would describe him that way. But anytime I hear of the Fuller Brush guy, I always think of, you know, the stapler throwing John, would-be ambassador to the United Nations. It was John Bolton or Josh Bolton?
No,
I get him confused.
Yeah, John Bolton. Or John.
Yeah. It's that mustache. I can't get past it.
I guess that's what it is.
That's scary enough without the throwing of the staplers.
It is, isn't it? Bob is calling from Tacoma, Washington, listening on KPTK. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mike. Second time calling. Basically, ever since Ronald Reagan got mauled in the first debate or two with Jimmy Carter, and then he returned to themes for that last debate, ever since then the Republicans have been campaigning almost solely on themes rather than policy. And you know they're going to do that again this time around in spades. So, you know, I was wondering what the best way to counter that would be. I'll ask for your honest opinion. First, I'll offer mine. I'm thinking what we need to do is meaning the Democrats, need to turn their themes of, you know, shining city on a hill and, you know, God and family and all that into failed policies that they've implemented in the past and mm-hmm. continue to. And then we need to turn our policies into positive themes. What do you think?
The Democrats have never been good at coming up with the 4-second soundbite. Mm-hmm. To describe all the good that the Democratic Party has done for this country. Liberals, progressives, Democrats that's the only group that's ever done anything positive for the country as a whole. Republicans, conservatives, the rest of these bastards have never done anything that benefited the whole country. But the problem with Democrats is they just don't seem able to come up with a catchy phrase. So yeah, I agree with you. What was the last thing you asked? A policy into what?
Into positive themes,
right?
Like, you know, let's say if Madam Hillary ends up becoming our nominee, you know, and she's asked about policy,
right.
You know, she should say, well, look, you know, this is true family values, taking care of families.
That's what has to be done. Absolutely. Bob, thank you. Got a boogie. Appreciate you checking in. Take care, pal. about 9 before the hour. Thanks to our engineer in Phoenix at KPHX flagship station, Ian Huff, who also answered your calls. Billy Foster, who, among other things, moderates the chat room and keeps the entire network running. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Thanks to everybody again tonight. David is calling from Michigan, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, glad I finally got a chance to get a hold of you. I've been listening to your show now for about a week, and it's fantastic. I'm finally glad I found somebody who's finally starting to speak the truth about what's going on here. Because I just don't understand the politicians anymore. And tell you the truth, after living in Europe for so long, I've kind of lost my belief in the American people, too, that they just sit back and they take all this garbage that's been, you know, portrayed to them by politicians and things like that. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact, when you hear somebody like Rumsfeld and all these other morons, they say waterboarding isn't a type of torture. I've had military training, like I told you before, and I have had the opportunity to experience it on a light way on my own person. It's one of the worst things I can think of you can do to a person, except maybe pull out their fingernails or something like that.
Right.
I would be more than happy to show Donald Rumsfeld that it is a type of torture.
There's a line of people ahead of you on that one, David.
Well, I know. I'm pretty big, so I think I just jumped to the line, you know. And, you know, I don't understand why, you know, the U.S. people, the people in the United States just don't stand up against George Bush and just say, look, you know, you're screwing up, you're messing us up. And, you know, in the long run, he's not doing anything different than, you know, Milosevic and Yugoslavia and all these other dictators, you know.
Right.
He's sending boys to war. He's killing innocent people. He's letting innocent people being killed.
Right.
And then he's turning around and he's sending them, you know, these other dictators and stuff to, you know, war criminal trials, you know, which is absolute garbage.
Well, if there is any justice in this world, as not just a concept, but as a force, if there is justice in this world, people like George Bush and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these people will be brought to justice. We're going to talk tomorrow about how Rumsfeld, we mentioned this last week, that there are what amounts to warrants out for Rumsfeld's arrest in France.
Right.
It's my understanding that today he had to flee like some kind of a shoplifter to get out of France before he was arrested. So, go ahead.
I don't understand is, you know, why don't the American people stand up and say, look, okay, you know, you guys are messing up. We want you to be prosecuted.
Yeah, good question,
you
David.
Know?
Yeah.
Where are our moral values if we don't stand up for what's right?
That's very true. David, I'm glad you checked in tonight. I hope to hear from you again. Take care, pal.
On the subject of waterboarding and Mukasey, there's something I don't understand. I mean, this guy's been a judge a long time, right?
Right.
Well, I just read something, literally, that in 1947, a Japanese soldier who used waterboarding against a U.S. citizen during World War II
uh-huh.
was sentenced to 15 years in a U.S. prison for committing a war crime.
Sure.
How do you get more clear than that? If we sentence Japanese soldiers for using waterboarding as a form of torture, and we sentence them as war criminals, how can someone like Mukasey turn around and say he doesn't know whether or not it meets the definition of torture?
Well, I'll tell you how he weasels out of this, Kathy. The Japanese soldier was sentenced to 15 years for committing a war crime, not for torture. A war crime.
Okay, so we're committing war crimes.
Well, no,
we're not admitting to doing that either.
No, what Mukasey would say is, well, you know, the victors usually determine what the crimes were. The victors over the vanquished, acts that the victor considers heroism on the part of his people, winds up being acts of terror or war crimes on the people defeated or the army defeated. It's real dodgy stuff. That's why the Geneva Conventions on the conduct of war and how civilian populations and prisoners are to be treated are so damned important. because it's very easy for the victors to determine that the vanquished committed war crimes and they, the victors, did not, even though they, the victors, did exactly the same thing.
I think they're getting around it because the U.S. military is prohibited from torturing, but the CIA isn't. So
well,
they're letting the CIA do it.
That's probably how they're doing it. It's horrible, horrible stuff. Especially when you think how much of the CIA, the functions of the CIA have been farmed out to these corporations like Blackwater or DynCorp, and there's no oversight on those bastards. Can you imagine the sadists that have decided to join, the sadistic personalities that have decided to join these so-called security firms so they can go kill and torture with absolutely no consequences? Son of a bitch. Scary stuff, huh? Hi. Thanks for tuning in tonight and hanging out. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Really, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.